They're going to give it to Vince. He's going to take a three and hit it. Vince Carter leaves the floor a hero. Well, they got him in the game, and a great way to end this. Vince Carter, in his 22nd season, buries the three.
That three-pointer, taken right before the NBA suspended its season, could be the final shot of Vince Carter's career. It's a journey that spanned 22 seasons, 8 teams, and countless electrifying moments. But if it ends now, how will we remember his impact on the game? Today, Jackie McMullen helps us take stock of a career and a player who never won a ring, but outlasted everyone. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Friday, April 10th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Jackie, the early ending, potentially, of the NBA season could also mean the end of one of the longest runs in NBA history, which at this point is perhaps the most remarkable thing about Vince Carter's career, right? I mean, the fact that he's 43 years old, he's still playing, and he's not playing for great teams. So I wanted to start there and ask you a simple question. Why?
Well, it's a good question. And it's funny because if you go back, the fact that this dude has played four decades and played above the rim and then learned to play below the rim, because that's what I always look at. Okay, if you were a high-flying guy and you couldn't do that anymore, well, why are you still playing?
Just showing love to the game and respect to the game and the players that played it. So that's kind of why I still do it.
There's a certain small number of guys that have incredible, immortal street cred with other players. And he's one of them. You mention him to younger players and their eyes just explode.
Can you put in context how unusual it is that he has played for, 20 years?
Well, it's incredibly unusual because it's a taxing game. When I knew I was going to come on this podcast with you, I happened to look up Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals, which I'm sure we'll get to. But the reason I looked it up, because I was curious how many minutes he played in that game. He played 48 minutes in that game.
Jeez.
And he played during an era where you played 40 plus minutes when the games were important. So that's why I think it's even more remarkable that he's been able to span four decades, because he played during a time when the best players played a lot.
So in the intro, I mentioned that might have been Vince Carter's final shot, a three-pointer for the Atlanta Hawks in overtime. What had the season been like for him and his team before that moment?
Well, it's interesting. They're an interesting team. I'm sure they're disappointed. Travis Schenk is one of the smartest GMs in the league. He learned under the Golden State Warriors franchise, drafted well, brought in some really good young players, and sprinkled in some veterans to teach them some things, hence why Vince Carter is on that roster. Remember I told you before about young players' eyes exploding? Mm-hmm. Trey Young is one of those players, because I asked him.
Yeah, I was born right after he got drafted. I mean, I still see like the flashy, the highlights, the crazy dunks.
Vince has been a true OG for me. He's been a guy I can lean on. If I have any questions, I can go to him. Anything I need, I can go to Vince. So,
and I'm sure he's learned a lot from him. But they underperformed, if in fact this is the end of the season for them. Now, I'm not blaming Vince Carter for that. But I would say that as a whole, I think he envisioned being the Yoda to a bunch of really sharp young Jedis that were going to shock the world. And it didn't go that way.
But even so, right, even though the Hawks have been disappointing and people thought they would be good, I don't think they were pegged as a championship contender.
Not even a playoff team, no.
For some people, that's what's confusing, right, about Vince in some of these final years. It's not like he's ring chasing. I mean, he's not playing on excellent teams.
Right.
I want them to say, man, at 43, I know I couldn't do it. I wouldn't attempt it. So he must love it.
I mean, the four decade thing is cool. He's the only one that's done it. The thought I always had was, why not go back to the Raptors for one last dance? Hmm. Now, as constituted, they're a championship contending team, even with Kawhi Leonard gone. So maybe there was no space for him. I just always thought, why not go back to where it started, where the wounds have been healed to some point,
Really? Because that is the sports writer's fantasy, what you're describing.
Of course,
right?
It is.
So it would be so poetic for him
right,
to end
but
that
ours, way. As you know, our fantasies never are in line with the people that actually have to fulfill them for us.
Yeah, Tom Brady's on the Bucs.
Yes, so. He is. Oh, do we have to go there again? Please.
Oh. We will not talk about Tom Brady and the Bucs on this episode. Jackie, Vince announced going into 2019 that his 22nd year in the NBA would be his final season.
What you gonna do? You got another run?
I got one more in me.
You got one more in
one more run in me.
Excuse me. Time out. 3 years ago, you told me 2 more years. 2 years ago, you told me 2 more years. Now we're getting back. We're down
I'm
to
at one. I'm at
this
last
is
one.
You know this is.
What did you think when you heard that?
Well, you know what I thought was, wow, here's a guy who everybody seems to really, really like, who's a good teammate, who was a really fun, exciting highlight player. And wow, he just never got a chance to even reach for the brass ring. I think he got to the Eastern Conference Finals once. It felt like maybe Vince Carter's career should have been a little smoother than it was. That's what I was thinking.
How has he adapted? Because playing for more than 20 years in the NBA doesn't just require saying, I want to play for more
right.
than 20 years in the NBA. It's not easy. And you alluded earlier to the fact that his game has evolved as well. What has happened there?
You know, in his early years, he was a highlight dunking machine all the way back to high school.
Oh, my hands are all around.
This young man is going to North Carolina.
The McDonald's All-American game. I think he won the slam dunk contest. And he was just one of those Dominique Wilkins kind of players, wowing you with his athleticism. I always thought he was a much more complete player than maybe people gave him credit for. It's just so much more fun to see him flying through the air and doing 360 dunks yeah. and, you know, weaving the ball between his legs and dunking it. I mean, all the things the rest of us just dream about.
In what ways would you say his career is sort of a microcosm for the evolution of the game itself?
Yeah, that's, wow. That's very astute, Mina.
Thank you.
I think very much so, because although, you know, the game itself, we know now, three-pointers are what matter. We still value athleticism in the NBA, but we know it's fleeting because we have a long line of bodies that tell us that. But I think, too, just to be able to handle yourself with professionalism, to be able to be a positive influence in a locker room as opposed to a divisive one, your career is going to last a lot longer.
You mentioned, you know, he's sort of this locker room guy, this Yoda now. I mean, you've been around him a lot over the course of his career. What is he like?
It sounds simple. And I don't even know this to be real because I've never been with Vince Carter out on the town, or I don't know a lot about his personal life. But he's just one of those good dudes, at least from my perspective, you know, from a guy that you had to cover through the years. He was respectful, very intelligent, very perceptive, very intuitive, and emotional. I loved the emotion when he was young and he'd lay down those jams. He'd do his own little version of the shimmy.
He's also very private, right?
Yes. But isn't that so smart? He learned to be that after, you know, he had a very public event, of course, when he went back to graduate from North Carolina, because he promised his mom he would do that. And he did it on the morning of Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Probably not the best day to choose, but of course you don't choose these things. They just happen. And I think Vince Carter thought he was a little more multidimensional than a guy that could just slam a basketball through a rim. I think he thought of himself as a very intelligent African-American man that could make good decisions, that he was more than just a basketball player. He was involved in his community, and I think those things were important to him. And I think he thought he'd be applauded for that. And it's still one of the great debates. If you get into a room with 10 people, it's probably going to be split 5 and 5 on whether he did the right thing.
Well, let's talk about that moment and his history in the NBA after the break. Coming up, the most controversial moment of Vince Carter's career. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing 2 really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, They have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Jackie, Vince is a household name now and has been for a very long time. In fact, since I think I was in junior high. But
ooh, see, did your eyes explode when you saw Mina? Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
My eyes explode when I see everyone in the NBA that I ever get to meet. But when did the basketball world first get a hint of who he was?
Well, I think probably in North Carolina. And of course, anyone who goes to North Carolina is always going to be compared to Michael Jordan. Very unfair comparison, of course. But I think you saw some of the explosiveness of Vince Carter all the way back then. He was such an aggressive player.
Oh, watch Mr. Carter. Watch the explosion.
Man, this guy just goes to the hole. He is going for it. No regard for his physical well-being. Played with a real flair that I remember at the time thinking was quite striking.
I'm just here just to announce that I'm making myself eligible for the NBA draft. And hopefully I'll be an effective player and hopefully I can be a superstar one day.
What did you think about him ending up with the Raptors after, of course, he was initially drafted by the Warriors?
I just remember thinking, I wonder why Golden State wouldn't take a chance on this guy. He seems like he has a chance to be special. I still think, if you asked me, name the one player in Toronto Raptors history. Now, of course, Kawhi Leonard will steal that now. But, you know, Mr. Raptor, before Kawhi Leonard winning that championship, Vince Carter is the person that came to mind. And yet, he didn't really play there a very long time. He just brought so much excitement to that franchise. He had a chance to be the face of Canada in the basketball world.
Well, Vince really exploded around the world in the NBA dunk contest in 2000, of course.
You'll see Vince Carter with Cole Kenny Smith that he has four dunks that no one has ever seen. All right, here is Vince Carter with his first shot.
My favorite, everybody has their favorite. Mine was when he went up, had his elbow on the rim, like almost like he was sitting there drinking a cup of my favorite British tea.
All right, Vince Carter with his first on the final round.
Oh, yeah, and I think I'll slam the ball for two. That was my favorite one.
So it wasn't long after that that he had what was probably the most controversial moment of his career.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So backing it up, when Vince was drafted, he said,
the day before I left to go to college, my mother sat me down. She basically wrote out this contract saying that if I left early to go to the NBA, I promised to go back to get my degree. I said, you know, I'm sure. Where do I sign?
Flash forward to May 20th, 2001. He is graduating from UNC. The ceremony happens to be the same day as Game 7 in Philadelphia against Allen Iverson and the 76ers.
Crazy, what right? Happened? Just crazy. So everybody's thinking, well, all right, we know he promised his mom, but he graduated. Is that good enough? Does he actually have to go to the ceremony? You know, his mom wanted him to go. And I think he wanted to go. I think it was important to him. So let's just think about it. This is the biggest game in Toronto Raptors history. Game 7. Eastern Conference semifinals against Allen Iverson, one of the most incredible talents you could think of. And your very best player, the morning of that game, is dressed in a cap, in a gown, and a pair of those really uncomfortable dress shoes that no one should ever wear. And he's getting his diploma in North Carolina. Now, the game is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He walks to graduation. His mom is there. Now he's got to get on a plane and fly back. And he arrives just after noontime to his destination. But everybody's wondering, all of that motion on a day where usually players do a walkthrough, have breakfast, turn off their phone, take a nap. What will this mean for the Raptors and how will it affect Vince Carter? And maybe if he had known at that moment that it was going to be the biggest basketball game of his career, maybe he would have made a different decision. I always loved it. I've had plenty of arguments with my colleagues and friends about this. I loved the message. If you want to talk about what a lot of his teammates were doing the night before that game or the opponents were doing the night before the game, come see me. What he did seemed a lot purer, a lot safer, a lot more noble than what they may or may not have been doing the night before a big game. But because of the results, everybody thinks, well, he made a mistake.
Carter trying to get free. Carter at the buzzer. No good. And the Sixers hold on and advance to the conference finals.
Go back and look at that shot. It's such a difficult play. He gets the ball in the corner. He does a little pump, little double pump. And he's got Tyrone Hill, who, by the way, was a very good defender, flying right at him. And he missed. Now, did he miss because he went to Chapel Hill to attend his graduation? I don't think so. In the heat of the moment, great athletes, elite athletes, stars, they're not tired in that moment. They're not thinking about, did I do the right thing? All they're looking at is the rim and thinking, I'm going to make this.
I made my decision and I was going to stick to it. And that was the right decision, because if basketball didn't work from 2001 on, I'm a graduate and I'd do it again.
I think at the time there was a thought, well, he'll be back. The Raptors will be back. You know, this isn't the end of this. But then obviously it didn't go that way. I mean, what were his next few seasons in Toronto like?
Well, there weren't that many. That was the high point for at least during the Vince Carter regime. He started to have the injuries that I mentioned before. He was struggling a bit. He had a very now, I guess, infamous interview years later with John Thompson talking about, you know, did you give your all to that franchise? And John Thompson wasn't questioning Vince Carter. I think he was just trying to get to the idea of what it's like when you're the superstar and all eyes are on you and you physically are struggling. And then you're expected to carry this team that had made some questionable decisions, that hadn't given you perhaps the supporting cast that you had wanted. You know, he was at odds with Richard Petty, not Richard Petty, the race car driver, Petty, P-E-D-D-I-E, who was in charge of the Raptors then. They did not see eye to eye. And eventually, Vince Carter ends up asking for a trade. The fans, the fan base, they were never going to forgive him.
He also dominated in his first game back, right?
Oh, he was unbelievable because he was a great player. And so he was rejuvenated in a new spot. The spot that he left, you know, knew they'd gotten fleeced. And they were angry and they took it out on him. Mm. And then this idea that maybe he hadn't given his all while he was there, that's the most unforgivable thing of all.
So after his time with the Nets is when he sort of enters that final phase of his career. Although I say final phase, it lasted a very long time, but he becomes the crafty veteran, right? And how does he start contributing at this point?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think it took some a while for him to get used to what he should and shouldn't do. That maybe going down the middle of the paint and trying to jam on somebody's head. I mean, can I just say, I'll never, ever forget. I was not there, but seeing the highlight of him literally jumping over Tim Duncan.
Right side, Carter at the foul line. All the time.
With a right-handed monster jam. He just posterized Tim Duncan.
He jumped up over Tim Duncan.
I mean, that is just one of the most incredible things to this day that I've ever seen on a basketball court. And, you know, those days were over. So he was a smart enough basketball player and a complete enough basketball player that he could do other things. He was always a good rebounder. He could distribute the ball and he could help these young players develop the kind of work ethic that enables you to play four decades.
Well, and I called him crafty veteran, Jackie, but I don't want to downplay his contributions. I mean, he still had some big moments, including potentially retribution, right, for missing that big shot against the Sixers.
1.7 to play. What kind of look is it going to be? It comes in the corner for the win. Yes! Yes! Do you believe it?
It was almost identical. It's creepy how close it was, including the little clutch. Same corner, hits the shot at the buzzer. And it's funny, we think, oh, well, what's the big deal? He's hit a million big shots in his life. But even he admitted, now I can be happy.
That was years of waiting for that opportunity that I'd prepared for. And to actually see that go in, I can live now. I'm happy.
Vince, that's the same exact shot that you took in that playoff series against the Sixers.
2001.
And you told me you practiced that shot every day. Were you thinking about
May 20th. Game 7. Yeah, I remember.
Jackie, when he first came back to Toronto, he was booed a lot. There were signs. Did the fans there ever forgive him?
Well, you know, we always talk about storybook endings. It did happen for Vince Carter. It happened late in his career. He was playing with the Memphis Grizzlies in 2014, and he went back to Toronto, where he had always had great success as an ex-Raptor. And they made the decision to do a video montage to celebrate him.
We just witnessed quite an amazing moment here. Vince Carter has received a standing ovation that has brought tears to his eyes.
You know, they first started showing it and there were the boos, but then something really amazing happened. All of a sudden, there were some cheers. And the cheers got louder to the point where the cheers completely blew away the boos. And people were standing and clapping. And Vince was looking at it and pointing to his heart and, you know, waving to them, to the fans. And then he just started crying. Just tears rolling down his face. It was an incredible moment.
Now I'm tearing up just listening to you. Maybe it's the quarantine. A little emotional hearing that.
Could be. Yeah, right.
So if this is it, if that last shot we saw was Vince Carter's final appearance on NBA court, what would you say his legacy will be?
I think his legacy will be one of the most electrifying, high-flying, fun players to watch, but a player who never really got to enjoy the fruits of all those talents.
Do you think that bothers him, that that's going to be such an integral part?
I don't think so. I think if you're Vince Carter and you've played this long and you've played for this many teams, you just love the game. I think if you ask Vince what his legacy is, he'd say, I was a talented player that tried to get the most of my abilities. But you know what? I love the game so much, I stayed on. And that's pretty cool.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you, Mina.
You can catch the E60 episode on Vince Carter's historic career this Saturday afternoon on ESPN. Coming up, even when there aren't fans in the stands, the atmosphere can still be electric. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Here's another story I want you to know. On Monday, we told you about MLB's exploratory plan to bring baseball back as soon as May. It's a scheme that would involve everything from isolating players and their families at hotels in Phoenix, to playing in empty stadiums, to using an electronic strike zone. And while some of those ideas have incurred a good deal of backlash, as well as a statement from MLB insisting they haven't settled on any plan, other suggestions, like the robot umps, make a lot of sense. But what about robot fans? When the Chinese Professional Baseball League begins its season on April 11th, a team called the Rakuten Monkeys will have electronic supporters sitting and standing in the bleachers. Not much is known about them, but based on the image put out, they look kind of like creepy department store mannequins wearing Rakuten jerseys, t-shirts, and lifting up signs. Now, it should be noted, this is not the first time a baseball team has gone full Westworld on us. A few years ago, a Korean team called the Hanwha Eagles rolled out something they called fan bots, three rows of robots that fans could control remotely. They could upload selfies to give the robots their faces, not scary at all, and make them cheer, chant, or hold up messages. There's no word yet on whether any MLB teams are considering a robot takeover in the stands, but if they do, I have only one suggestion. Please don't program them to do the wave. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Russell Dinallo. I'll talk to you Monday.